It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
2020 has been a year like no other. Everything we know, everything we trust, and everything we've come to rely on has changed. So how could we expect the U.S. election to be any different? Mainstream media are telling us the race is over, Biden won. Time to move on. Nothing to see here, folks. But in your gut, you know something's just not right. From the strange patterns on election night, to the weeks of suspense, to the reports of fraud that evaporate faster than Biden's memory, it just doesn't add up. Stay with me. And you'll see just what's going on behind the scenes in this election and why the greatest threat we're facing right now is not an invisible enemy invading our bodies, but one that's invading our country and our minds.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That is from a very new video called The Plot to Steal America. And it's powerful. And it talks about, it gives you a 30,000-foot view, really, of what's happening here. You know, I think a lot of our family members and friends still think, and naively, our pastors are whatever. I think that this is like a battle between Republicans and Democrats, and they always fight, and they're politicians. And so, you know, whoever prevails, it won't be that much different. And I have to say that this is so much more dangerous and insidious and a point of no return than they can even imagine. And I think this particular video, which is, I think it's only 17 minutes, it really lays it out that the forces that we are fighting are not about politics. They are about the attempted takeover of our country by other interests, primarily people who have the communist worldview. Coalescing foreign powers, inside powers here, and the way they're pulling the levers and social media and all of that. I talk about that all the time. And I think that most of you who listen to me, listen to this show, probably have an understanding of that, but I would say most people don't. And so this is a great tool for you to send and try to make the case. I just sent it out to a lot of my friends who are different in their persuasion on this and who really, you know, they're busy doing their lives. They don't really understand. It just doesn't make sense to them. They do not understand the undertow that we are experiencing that will, in fact, pull us to the abyss. And that's what we're trying to fight. And it has nothing to do with Democratic or Republican leadership, really. That's a smokescreen. It has nothing to do with racial tensions. It has nothing to do with race relations. It has nothing to do with women versus men. It has nothing to do with transgenderism. These are all vehicles that are being used by a force that is expert, filled with finesse, cunning, to use all of that to subvert American freedom. And they're being very effective at it. So I hope that you will watch it. We'll put that link on our Facebook page. It's The Plot to Steal America. I think it'll stay there. You know how it is, you know, with these, in fact, YouTube, which is owned by Google, of course, announced, so let me see, let me move to this. You remember they announced just a few days ago that, maybe it was a week ago, and this is their statement. I'll just read what they say so I get it completely right. YouTube has decided, they announced that they would remove, quote, content alleging widespread fraud or errors changed the outcome of a historical U.S. presidential election. They said, for example, we will remove videos claiming that a presidential candidate won the election due to widespread software glitches or counting errors. We will begin enforcing this policy today and will ramp up in the weeks to come. That's YouTube. That's Google. And you have to understand that most people in the globe look to YouTube, look to Google, and I think they have the 98% of the market share worldwide for information. So how is it that, you know, our, you know, my kids in Scotland, your friends in, you know, I don't know, India or South America don't really know what's going on? Because Google controls the information, and that is the point. We are battling a force that is making our people ignorant and bending their actions to those forces' will, which is subversion of our culture and our country. I talked to Gordon Chang, you know, on Friday. We feel that China is most definitely the driving force of all this, but they have other partners. They really do want to, they have a long plan. I've been hearing about this from Bill Gertz since the 1990s when I was on the air in Chicago, and I could hardly believe it, but that the Chinese Communist Party had laid out plans to really become a totalitarian regime that would rule the world. Who knew? We thought they just made nice goods, pretty things, that they gave us cheap products, that they made some of our CEOs wealthy. That's kind of what we thought. They were benign, but they're not benign. And they have a purpose for what they're doing. So I suggest that you watch that movie, the short trailer, I should say, a short feature, A Plot to Steal America. All right, so what's going on here? Well, Mark Levin last night said it so well. You know that the Supreme Court has just been denying to hear anything. And I'm going to give you some good news in a second. I'm going to hope to get to that good news. But they are making it, let's just say, shall we say, very difficult? Because there are constitutional abuses that have taken place in Pennsylvania, in Nevada, in other areas, and they just refused to hear any of it. And there have been lots of rumors swirling about what the court is doing. One of them I did not share on the air, and I'm not going to repeat it now because some people that I know who know say it's not true, that John Roberts was heard screaming, you know, at the other justices about, you know, his fear that who's going to be responsible for the rioting if we hear this case. That's what's being alleged against him. The Supreme Court responded to that, and they claimed that, John Roberts shouted at the other justices over the Texas lawsuit and their failure to take it was just not true. And they say it's because the justices have been meeting virtually, you know, by phone, by Zoom, whatever it is, for the last several months. And they don't meet in person, so it's just not true. But you know what? Here's the thing. I know, and you know, we just know, because we've seen how John Roberts has handled things. We've seen how he has ruled. We've seen how he has ruled against President Trump on virtually every single thing. And something in us knows that the Supreme Court should have joined in, should have heard the evidence, should have righted the wrongs of the lower courts, but they have not done that. And so Mark Levin had a few words for the Supreme Court last night. Let's listen.
Part of the Constitution is as sacrosanct as all other parts of the Constitution. How many newsrooms have done stories on this? None. How many newsrooms even talk about this? None. And yet that has been the purpose of some of the litigation that's gone all the way to the United States Supreme Court. And what has the United States Supreme Court done? Nothing. Nothing. Those individuals on that court, those justices took an oath to uphold the Constitution, and they've utterly failed us. In virtually every state that's been in contention, particularly the battleground states, that part of the Constitution has been violated. In Georgia, when the Secretary of State entered into a consent decree with Stacey Abrams to change the voting system, that is the signature requirement, he usurped the power of the state legislature, pure and simple. In Pennsylvania, the state legislature was usurped so many times I can't even count it, by the governor, by the Secretary of State, by a rogue, Democrat-controlled and elected state Supreme Court. That case went all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and so far, what has the court done? An 18-word, don't come back, we're not going to deal with it. And it's not just Pennsylvania and Georgia. Same thing happened in Michigan. Same thing has happened in almost all of these states where you have Democrats controlling the executive, or a rhino in the case of Georgia with the Secretary of State. This is why we have a Supreme Court. Judicial review for the purpose of upholding the United States Constitution. When it sits there and pretends that they're just observers, that decide they don't want to get involved. They have done a grave disservice to this country. They have not upheld the Constitution, and we will pay the price for this in elections to come.
Yes, I would say. Thank you, Mark. God bless Mark Levin. Mark is a great guy. He really is. I had a chance to get to know Mark, and privately he's the same as publicly. He has a passion for this country, a passion for the Constitution that is unquenchable, and a laser focus on what's true and what isn't. I remember a long time ago, probably 10, 15 years ago, he and I would always agree on these candidates that would be running for office, people that, you know, from all accounts might not win, but we both saw that that particular candidate would have the courage and would fight, and we get behind both of them, both of those candidates, and work together. So Mark is so insightful. He's a national treasure. I want to tell you a few other things now. So it continues, you know, this refusal to hear the evidence. Maricopa County now is not going to comply with subpoenas. And it suggests, of course, that people have something to hide. They're just not going to comply with the subpoenas. In other states, they're slow walking. Michigan, the same thing. There's no lack of evidence. There's no lack of evidence. It is a lack of will and courage. And I believe, in regard to the Supreme Court, I wish there were a way. We should be roundly shaming John Roberts. He should be shamed beyond measure. They are afraid. I think he is afraid of the left. That's the way I read him. I haven't had proof of that. But he sure said, after looking at what happened to Kavanaugh and the way the left screeched and screamed and disrupted and banged on the doors of the Supreme Court and climbed up and were just like wild, out of control anarchists. They saw that. They saw that. Kavanaugh saw it. John Roberts saw it. And still, they won't do anything to stop it. It is just stunning. All right, so on the wings of that, the Trump campaign has filed a Supreme Court challenge to Pennsylvania's election results. They're going back to them because many people have felt, and Ted Cruz was one of them, that the case regarding Pennsylvania was the strongest, was a slam dunk. Ken Starr felt that way, too. But the Supreme Court said, no, we're not going to hear that. So the Trump campaign is going back to them again. I think they've tailored down, narrowed their ask. Or I'm not sure exactly what the legal terms. I don't have time to really go into that right now. The Giuliani Trump team is going to use, John Eastman, by the way, has now become one of President Trump's attorneys. John was with us just a couple of weeks ago, just a great guy. And so now he's slugging away on behalf of the president. Giuliani and his team has announced they're going to use a different strategy. They're going to now go back to focusing on the voting machines. They have more data, more research. I'm sorry, I'm trying to hurry. More research and more facts now have been gathered about these Dominion voting machines. And so they're going to concentrate on that. General Flynn said yesterday that foreign intelligence agencies were monitoring the U.S. election. And now those foreign intelligence agencies want to brief the president. They want to provide evidence to President Donald Trump of the stealing of this election. And so that was big news. Franklin Graham weighed in on this yesterday. He said that he tends to believe President Donald Trump's comments regarding the election being rigged and stolen because he said the president has been right on almost everything. When he said he was being surveilled, he was being he was right about that. He's right about most everything. And so Franklin said, pray for President Trump, pray for Joe Biden, and pray for our nation that we will get through this and for God's will to be done. And indeed, that is exactly what we need to be praying. And I know you will be, and I know that you are. You are amazing. I think the maturity, spiritual maturity of this audience, I've really grown to love and understand that we don't understand what's happening right now, but we will not stop fighting. We will not stop fighting. I'll be right back. We've got a great guest coming up, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Perfect little hands and perfect little feet. Can you hear that? That's her little heart beating.
I had no idea I had a little baby girl in there. with little fingers and little toes. I didn't know at all she was so real. They told me she wasn't a baby and should be aborted. Now, I could never.
This ultrasound gives you a glimpse of God's perfect design and the good work He has begun with you. You both have intrinsic worth and value and are loved beyond measure.
Life-changing transformation happens in the communities that need us most. That's exactly why ICU Mobile chooses to go. 4 of 5 women in our mobile units see their ultrasound and choose life. Visit us now at icumobile.org to make a life-saving contribution. Or text LIVES to 45777. That's LIVES to 45777.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Opinion research by the Media Research Center confirms what common sense tells us. The failure of the dinosaur media and their big tech counterparts to report on evidence that Joe Biden is deeply compromised by communist China influenced the 2020 presidential race. There's another force that further distorted the election results: widespread fraud. But the press, the courts, and politicians are once again systematically suppressing compelling and growing evidence that theft, not legal balloting, is being allowed to determine our next commander in chief. As a result, he may be more than a national security risk. He may be the beneficiary, if not actually a perpetrator, of electoral grand larceny. President Trump's trade advisor Peter Navarro rendered an indispensable public service last week by distilling such evidence into a single, highly accessible, and compelling report. Check out this recommended reading at everylegalvote.com. This is Frank Gaffney.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. I just can't help but think about our guest because I read that I'm going to introduce him in just a second. He's a trustee of the National Symphony Orchestra. I bet he's never heard the Messiah sung quite like that. John Hostetter, who's with us this morning. John, have you ever heard the Messiah sung like that?
No, that is a rather unusual rendition indeed.
It's called A Soulful Celebration, and I really enjoy it, but I love the Messiah. But I just thought, I was just chuckling to myself as I thought about you listening to it. Let me just say that John is a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute and at the London Center for Public Policy Research. That really caught my eye because Discovery Institute, you may not recognize its name, but it has made an incredible mark on this country, and it certainly was a big part of my learning curve as a young talk show host. One of the earliest members of or parts of a Discovery Institute was Phil Johnson, who was an attorney, and also he had a dual at USC at Berkeley. He ended up becoming a Christian in a really dramatic conversion and wrote a book called Darwin on Trial. And that's kind of that was the early origins of Discovery. Not everyone at Discovery is a Christian, but they are great minds. So I know that John is one of those. He, again, is the senior fellow not only of Discovery, but also the London Center for Public Policy Research. And he's not only an attorney, but he really is, he's had tremendous experience in technology. And so just to give you the brief overview of what we're going to talk about. John, so thank you. And I really appreciate your time this morning.
My pleasure to be with you and your audience.
All right. All right. So let me just make it simple. You believe that President Trump won the 2020 election, don't you?
I think that the evidence is overwhelming that he did and that the election in its present form has been stolen.
Yeah. And you are in the process of writing, I don't know if you've completed, an article where you cite a study by Revolver. And I want to talk about this because, and the numbers are hard to discuss over the air, you know that. But let me start it this way. You write, the ace of Trump's is a statistical model that convincingly shows Trump winning 5 of 6 battleground states by a landslide. The model's predictions match the reported results in all other states, but predicts Trump won in Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and almost 50% of the vote in Michigan. So, John, there are a lot of studies right now, a lot of analyses. Why do you think this one is so powerful?
Well, it's powerful because what they actually did was they accepted the assumptions, the variables, ethnic and economic and racial variables that are used by their critics. That gets rid of one of the standard replies, which is, well, you picked a criteria that favor you. It also shows anomalies only in the states that Biden won, the 5 states. It does not show anomalies in other states Biden won. And so it's robust to alternative regressions and all that. Now, all that is good, but I have also come to the conclusion that while this is the ace of Trump's of studies, that in the compressed time we have, it's not going to be decisive. And the reason for that is twofold. First is statistical models are hard if it goes to, even in the courts, they want you then to have a full-scale trial to test them out with cross-examination, things like that. And then as far as if there's a vote, if the courts don't do anything before January 6th, which looks likely to be the case now, the politicians are not going to flip an election based on even the most reliable statistical model out there, because that requires a lot of explaining. And there's an old adage in politics, if you're explaining, you're losing. And what I looked at, and I'll tell you what I think the evidence is, that will be more persuasive in the short run, and it's the only stuff that I think has a chance now. The stuff in the models is good for legislative hearings, for deciding to get rid of these voting machines. It's very useful. But in the short run, it's traditional evidence of ballots illegally cast, which is also which is not subject to interpretation. It's not a rule of reason. And I put it in 4 very simple categories. Ineligible persons, ballots cast by underage residents, non-residents of a particular country or state, felons, non-citizens, or in the name of dead persons. Ineligible addresses, ballots cast from non-existent or commercial addresses or from fictive residents, vacant parking lots. Ineligible places, ballots cast from locations expressly excluded by state law, such as drop boxes in Wisconsin, which are not allowed. And unverifiable sources, ballots cast with non-traceable addresses and or compromised integrity. Those are the kinds of things everybody understands, and it doesn't require people to take a short course in statistics. And it's something that can be explained.
John, let me interrupt to say, you realize, yeah, I know you do, that Jesse Banal, who was the Trump attorney in Nevada, did a great job testifying before Congress last week And he laid that out powerfully, what happened in Nevada, with numbers and stories and documentation.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, and here's the thing, John, you know that YouTube took it down, wouldn't let anyone see it. But these appeals to the court, you probably know this morning or at least yesterday that the Trump team went back to the Supreme Court for them to hear what others, many people say, and I bet you agree, is one of the strongest cases, the breach of the Constitution. So go ahead.
All right. There was another petition for a rehearing that Texas filed before the Supreme Court over the weekend. And what the Supreme Court did was they said in an order issued on the 15th, they said reply briefs are due on the 14th of January. They didn't expedite the schedule, which is that'll be long after the presidency is decided. And what we're going to see here is there's this petition, which was filed yesterday, and it's not up on the court yet, is will the court establish an expedited briefing schedule? Because under the normal rules, they wouldn't get back in the court for about 30, you know, for a month or two. And if they do that, it's their way of saying we're not going to help.
And Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, I watched Jesse Benoit's testimony this morning.
Yeah.
And if I had to pick one 5.5-minute segment to show a skeptic, I'd say, I want you to watch this. It passes every test of credibility, including we show our work, the other guys don't.
Yeah. But I thought so, too.
That testimony, the Democrats are not going to accept it, but that's the kind of thing that you could take on January 6th to the legislature and when they're Congress, and you show it to the members of the House and Senate, and you say, look, this is why you should pick a competing slate of electors, and they have something there that they can easily explain to the voters, because if they don't have something that the voters can quickly understand, and you've got voters who are trying to get back to work, get their kids out of the house, get the vaccine, they're not going to sit there and go through a statistical thing. I just don't think in the short run, they're important arguments. They're very meritorious. But in the short run, I don't think that's what's going to do it.
Yeah, well, I think you're not alone in feeling that way. I guess the frustration has been my personal view, as I'm not a non-attorney, I just take in information and tell other people what I'm reading. But there has been plenty, excessive amounts of proof that there's been fraud in this election. It's just that the American people can't hear it because social media is shutting it down, and the courts won't entertain it. They always refuse to hear on a technicality, not based on the information. I guess. Well, go ahead, John.
Yeah, well, the thing is, what has happened here, and it shows why legislation is not going to change anything. What it is that when they refuse to, when they ignore legislation like that and get away with it, there's no point in passing another legislation because they'll simply ignore that the next time around. Wisconsin's law is as close to a model law as you can get. It was drafted under Scott Walker, and it says, for example, that early voting, convenience voting, is not a right, it is a privilege, and they have very narrowly defined circumstances where it is done. And if they can get around that, and the courts can, on party line votes, get around that, and it's not reviewed, next time they'll be a little bit more careful how they do it. They'll learn from this. But legislation is not going to stop that if they successfully ignore the laws this time. You are right. There's abundant evidence out there in many of the states. In Georgia, 300,000 ballots were sent out, mail-in, before the 180-day period. And that is to say that you're not supposed to mail them out under the law as it is more than 6 months before the election. And part of that is obviously because people might change their residence if you're that far in advance. It's more likely. And the election officials ignored that. They don't have the authority to do so. If those 300,000 ballots are disqualified, that's 25 times the margin by by which Georgia was carried.
Yes.
And if they win Georgia and Pennsylvania, and if they win Wisconsin, which they should, then Trump will be the next president. But it's a very telescope time frame. If the courts simply refuse to address it, the only redress that's going to be left is to go to the Republican legislatures and say, it is clear not only that there was fraud in your state, but that there was fraud in other states as well. And one more thing, I saw an item this morning, it was posted yesterday, the left is questioning Mitch McConnell's big victory in
Kentucky.
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? I did not see that. The left is questioning his victory?
You're going to enjoy this. Your listeners will enjoy this, okay? Here's what they're saying. Four things. McConnell racked up, I'm reading verbatim from the thing, McConnell racked up huge vote leads in traditionally Democratic strongholds, including counties that he had never before carried. Two, there were wide, unexplained discrepancies between the vote counts for presidential candidates and down-ballot candidates. Three, significant anomalies exist in the state's voter records. 40% of the state's counties carry more voters on their rolls than voting age citizens. Four, Kentucky and many other states using vote tabulation machines made by election systems and software all reported down-ballot race results at significant odds with pre-election polls. These are exactly the kind of arguments they are rejecting. And so that and the difference is, of course, that since Trump really won a landslide of legal votes, that could carry down ballot for someone like McConnell. Whereas how could Joe Biden, who spent 8 months in a basement, carry down ballot for anyone?
It makes no sense, but I find this report fascinating. Because Mitch McConnell's response to all of this has been not that I'm surprised, he's betrayed conservatives a million times, but I actually thought maybe he learned his lesson after those terrible hearings for Kavanaugh, and he saw how wacky and dangerous the left is. But obviously hasn't. He's happy to go ahead and encourage Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and congratulate them and talk about how wonderful it is to have the first female vice president. But now for them to come after him, that's pretty bold, John. I think...
It is, but you need to understand, McConnell just concluded this COVID deal. He couldn't say anything during that, and it isn't useful for him to say something now. But if the court cases proceed well, or if the evidence is gathered, it could be brought to him before the January 6th vote, and that could get him to change his mind. There's no point in trying to change it before Christmas. It doesn't matter what he says now. And, you know, he has 1,000 things on his desk every morning. John Walsh said there is hours each day, as I've been doing, to pore over this stuff. So it's not time to go ask him to go back on that. If you present enough evidence, McConnell will convert if he thinks there's a chance that it will change the result.
Well, that's fascinating.
That's my guess.
That's fascinating. Now, I want to ask you about, before you joined me, I talked about the Supreme Court, because as you know, there have been a lot of rumors whirling about the so-called hearing on the Texas case. And the Supreme Court has officially denied anything about that, saying that the justices are not meeting in person. It's not possible. But there's got to be some reason, John. Lynn Woods is saying that actually that Stephen Breyer and John Roberts met together. He knows he has a source on this who's afraid to reveal their name, that they were colluding, or what word I should use, talking together about how to make sure that President Trump is not reelected. John, there's the music. I didn't realize I was talking about it. Can you hold on just one more second for me, with me on the other side of the break? Okay, because I would really love to know what your thoughts are about what the mystery of this feckless Supreme Court, what could possibly explain this? If there's any hope at all that, the court's saying that's wrong. Well, if it's wrong, what is the truth? And how would we know? Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Christmas Day, it's almost here. And this week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress sets the stage for the Christmas story by taking a close-up look at Mary, Joseph, and the little town called Bethlehem. Discover how God's miraculous plan for the redemption of mankind fell into place. All this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. When their mom passed, the Landau brothers of New Jersey had a garage sale to clear out their mom's house. But they decided to keep a few things, including mom's old creepy painting of a woman passed out in a chair and two men trying to revive her. Fast forward to their estate auction, and the brothers found themselves fielding bids from France and Germany for the painting. Turns out it was a long-lost Rembrandt that ultimately sold for $1.1 million. A trained eye spots value where others don't.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at afr.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with a Life and Liberty Minute. Republicans in Congress have one last opportunity to stop the crime of the century. That comes on January 6, when the new Congress must certify the results of the Electoral College. The election is not official until that happens. If just one Republican representative and one Republican senator oppose the certification of votes from fraud-ridden states like Georgia and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan and Nevada, Congress will be forced to debate the issue and then vote. Mo Brooks has declared that he will challenge the results and needs just one senator to join him. Every Republican would then be forced to go on the record as to whether he opposes the theft of the presidency or surrenders to it. This is the last ditch. If you want to stop the steal, this is our very last chance to do it.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
When it comes to choosing a college, campus visits are important. But 2020 has made it tough to tour your top picks. At Liberty University, we understand, so we offer a variety of visiting opportunities. Tour campus from home with a virtual tour, or visit campus for a few hours for a daily campus tour. Dig a little deeper with Experience LU, a single-day event where you'll tour campus, meet with faculty and staff, and sample on-campus dining locations. Pick your perfect visit by texting VISIT to 49596. Again, that's VISIT to 49596.
The Cartoon Network has decided to indoctrinate your child, releasing a series of digital comic strips promoting a radical agenda from the sex and gender revolutionaries. I mean, what in the name of Foghorn Leghorn is wrong with these people? The Cartoon Network unveiled four cartoons that normalize gender pronouns. It's not just he and she. There are some people who prefer to go by they or Z or Zer or something else. The Cartoon Network says that's just fine by them. If George Jetson thinks he's Judy, don't call a therapist. Throw a gender reveal party. The Cartoon Network is partnering with the National Black Justice Coalition, a far-left pro-gay activist group. It's not entertainment, it's indoctrination. So the next time you let your kids watch the Cartoon Network while they munch on the Fruity Pebbles, don't be surprised if Little Billy announces he's going to become Little Beulah. I'm Todd Starnes.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
President Trump held a meeting on Friday in which he reportedly discussed with his disgraced former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, this deranged idea to declare martial law to force new elections in states that Biden won. They also have discussed appointing conspiracy theorist Sidney Powell as a special counsel to investigate her baseless claims of election fraud, and also issuing an executive order to seize voting machines. This is, needless to say, quite alarming and scary to a lot of people. What's your response? What will Senate Republicans do to make sure none of this madness happens?
Well, it's not going to happen. That's going nowhere. And I understand the president is casting about, trying to find some way to have a different result than the one that was delivered by the American people. But it's really sad in a lot of respects and embarrassing, because the president could right now be writing the last chapter of this administration with a victory lap with regards to the vaccine. After all, he pushed aggressively to get the vaccine developed and distributed. That's happening on a quick time frame. He could be going out championing this extraordinary success. And instead, he's leaving Washington with a whole series of conspiracy theories and things that are so nutty and loopy that people are shaking their head wondering what in the world has gotten into this man. And I think that's unfortunate, because he has more accomplishments than this last chapter suggests he's going to be known for.
Wow, that's pretty stunning. I'll just, because I don't want to take up my time with John, I'll just say that we know now that CNN is doing everything it can to please the Chinese masters, not criticizing China. So is Wall Street Journal, because they have so much Chinese investments. In fact, Peter Schweitzer was on last night with Maria Bartiromo and talking about other people that are probably likely connected to China, which makes me think, well, gee, maybe the businessman Mitt Romney might want someone in the White House besides Trump because of his Chinese investments. And so it goes on and on and on, and we are being duped. It is the most frustrating, maddening, dangerous situation I've ever seen in our country my entire life. And I want to refer you again to The Plot to Steal America, that 17-minute video short that we mentioned in the first stage. It's a great explanation of what's happening here, that it isn't about politics. It's about an insidious force that wants to dismantle and reframe and destroy, really, our country. And so I hope that you'll look at that on our Facebook page, or look at it. Go to, it's called The Plot to Steal America. If you can't find it on our Facebook page, just go. I was going to say Google it. Well, duck, go it. The Plot to Steal America. Maybe you'll have better luck there. John Wostetter is our guest. And before we took the break, John, I wanted to ask you, what do you think about how the Supreme Court is responding to all of this?
All right. Essentially, I think that most people have an assumption about the court that is not true, which is that with six members of the court appointed by Republicans, that they hold the high cards. In reality, I would argue that the three Democrats on the court, two appointed by Obama and one by Bill Clinton, have the political high cards, because the court is not going to have a 6-3 decision, Republicans over Democrats, because if they do, it's going to be reported by all the usual suspects as politics. And that is something, the only way they can rebut that is if they get buy-in from at least one, and preferably two, at least, of the left-wing justices. Breyer is reluctant to do it alone because he crossed the aisle on the constitutional issue in 2000, Bush v. Gore. So I think that was the dynamic there. And the original jurisdiction case that Texas did, it was a bit of a heavy lift, but now what they're doing delayed that they have 1 month time frame for an appeal concerning vote fraud in Michigan. So the courts are going to stay away from it. Now, I think another thing that they did, which this is really inexcusable to me, is they issued a cryptic one paragraph decision. And, you know, I had in mind what Thomas Jefferson said, ended his first paragraph of the Declaration by writing on behalf of himself and the other signatories, a quote, "A decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation." America's voting public should have gotten that too. You know, one-paragraph rulings are not unusual in routine cases where the law is absolutely settled by prior precedents. But this was a novel set of facts and a conspiracy on an historically unexpected election fraud on a historically unprecedented scale and scope. They should have offered more than a paragraph. Sometimes, you know, when you're in the Beltway, and I was there for 3/8 of a century, 37 and a half years, you begin to think that 105% of Americans are lawyers.
Yes,
they're not.
Right, exactly.
And they needed to explain it, and I think the reason they didn't was because they felt it would drag them into the substance of the issues, and they just want no part of this thing. So
yeah.
I wouldn't hold, even though the appeal is meritorious, the fact that they denied the Michigan case makes it, or that they delayed it, you know, 1 month. If they do that here, that means we are not going to take any cases before Congress certifies on the 6th. And afterwards, they'll say it's moot.
You know, John, here's the thing. I'm not an attorney, but I did live in D.C. a long time, too. And the vortex of deception, a self-deception, and that area is amazing to me. So here's the thing. The way I see this is there we are facing potential disaster, the destruction of our country, and they're worried about their reputation of not getting involved in politics when they have perfectly legitimate constitutional reasons to settle disputes in this issue. And not, it seeming to me, not understanding that if President Trump doesn't prevail, the whole court will be reconfigured and added to so that they will have no power whatsoever. Do they not understand that?
Well, I think that some of them may understand that. But on the other hand, here you have a situation where it's not guaranteed that the Republicans have the Senate. That might have given them a little bit of fortification. But, you know, Roberts is a political weather vane, and he sees a Category 5 wind blowing out there. And it's not the best way of thinking. I totally agree with you. And I believe also that if this prevails, that the country is going to be in a catastrophic position.
Yes.
And it's going to send all the wrong messages to people. You're going to see the first day, Biden's first act, I predict, will be, if he gets in, he will fire all the United States attorneys, which is a custom Bill Clinton started. And when he does that, those will include any special counsels. Uh-huh. And it will get lost in all the flurry. Uh-huh. And then they will deep six all the evidence. The only way that Durham gets out with anything is if he has written a report, he has to release it. You know, he waits till January 6th, sees what happens, and he releases it to the public before they shut it down.
Yeah. But, well, John, I think I just was going to say, I think that you and I could spend an hour talking about the dismantling of all things America. You know, I just read it. There's a huge document that's just been published about how, I wish I had it near me, but it's a document where they this group lays out what it plans to do in terms of deconstructing what conservatives have done for the last several years. It's going to be a nightmare. And irony is, to me, that while John Roberts bends over not to be political, he is the ultimate political animal. He is the ultimate politician, judge on the court. It's disgraceful. And I hope honestly, John, I hope the disgrace that he deserves goes with him, honestly. He will be the single person. Now, one last thing, and then I have to let you go, because I know your time is very valuable. My understanding is the Supreme Court rule that if four justices agree, they will take a case. But at the same time, I read that if four disagree, they can't take the case. Is that true?
Well, no. What it is this. When there were eight members on the court before Amy Barrett was confirmed, a 4-4 decision on the merits would affirm the lower court's decision. But certiorari only requires four justices, and it doesn't matter if five don't want to hear the case. It at least gets up there. But what they were talking about was if the court had to decide cases that it took, a 4-4 decision would affirm the lower court decision. And in some cases, Barrett might be the deciding case. I think where she's already had impact is in religious conscience cases. where she really will make a difference.
Yes,
but,
maybe.
That's what they were referring to. It wasn't a question of certiorari. That's a writ from the Supremes down to call the case up, actually. Certiorari too. That's why they call it that. And it's a discretionary writ. And it only takes four to get the case up there. But once it gets up there, if you have an even number of justices, a tied decision, whether it's 4-4 or 3-3 if people recuse or whatever, a tie goes to the party that prevailed below.
Mm. Yes, well, I get that. But I guess so to be clear, four justices could say, yes, we'll hear that Pennsylvania case.
Yes. That's
so
correct.
We don't even have four. We don't even have four justices, including Amy Coney Barrett and Judge Kavanaugh and Neil Gorsuch. I know we have Thomas and Alito. We know by their own hand that they would take one of these cases. So we don't have two more justices that would take one of these cases?
Well, we're going to find out. Basically, the one reason that they might decide not to, and I think it's a bad reason they should take it and force the thing, is they'll be told, well, if it comes up here, you're the only four votes, you're going to go down 5-4. You know, that's what they're up there to do. And by the way, that report about the shouting matches and secret agreements, I don't place much stock in that. Roberts would not shout at junior justices and say, you'll vote as I tell you to do. They weren't all in a room, even if he was with Breyer at one time. And that I can't know either way. But much of that strikes me as sort of rather oddball stuff, and it really shouldn't factor in. The reasons will be more prosaic that they decide to do things.
Yes,
but we should know today because I think today is the last day that the court is going to be issuing any kind of orders or opinions according to their calendar. So presumably they will decide whether to docket the case or not. And if they will give expedited review, if they don't give expedited review, it's their way of saying, we don't want to be involved in this.
But John, okay, so, but it's not just Justice Roberts making that decision, correct?
I know. Well, four of them can force the court to take the case.
Okay.
So you've got five people, not named John Roberts, who were appointed, and they only need four of those five.
Yeah, okay.
And we can figure that Alito and Thomas will vote to take the case. Now you've got the three Trump appointees, and two of them have to be willing to take the case to bring it up there.
Yeah. I just can't. It defies logic, and it's a pretty much a gut punch when you think about, for instance, Kavanaugh, what he went through to get confirmed, and you think about his knowledge of the left. He saw it firsthand and was the recipient of its vile, vile actions, and yet will not fight back. It seems he will not fight back, but we'll find out. Maybe John, something miraculous will happen today. John Wallstetter, it's been a privilege, John, to talk to you for the first time. I hope we can do this again. And if you get that article finished, send it to me, and we'll put it on our Facebook page, okay?
Yeah, I think it's in rewrite at the moment for some stuff, and events are moving so fast, that's part of what's delayed it.
Boy, I know.
It's been a delight to be with you and your audience, Sandy, and I look forward to our doing it again.
Okay, God bless you, John. Thank you so much. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.